Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, I love communion. You know, it's just, I'm so glad the Lord created that, that practice, that sacrament, that whatever you want to call it, you know, that really celebration of grace is what I like to call it. Just a reminder of who we are, where we've come from, because it's one of those things that just helps keep you grounded. No matter how tall your building is going up for Jesus, and as you're in the spiritual building project, that's the foundation. And that foundation, the stronger that foundation is, the higher you can go in your building. So the more secure and revelation that you know where you come from, saved by grace through faith, that gives you the strength to really build something on top of that. So praise God for that foundation of grace. So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is asked a question here. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You know, I'm all about efficiency, shortcuts, and, really simplifying things wherever possible. And if I've got to choose between getting into the weeds of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and keeping track of all those different laws and rules and regulations, or just keeping track of two commandments, where he goes on to another place and say, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these two. That's pretty nice. That's pretty efficient. That really helps me to much easier way wrap my mind around what God wants me to do. And so we've got that very simple, answer from Jesus as far as basically quoting the scriptures and just saying that this is it. You know, this is the heart of God right here. In fact, Jesus further continues to clarify the second one a little bit more when he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So he kind of modifies that second one with the new commandment. The old, the original commandment was, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, depending on how well you're loving yourself that day, that could that could vary. But the new commandment is that we love one another as he has loved us. That's why you see that language, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. So I don't have to take my personal barometer of how I'm doing, how I'm loving myself that day, or just kind of being instinctively nice. Now I'm looking at loving one another as he's loved me. That's kind of another bit of depth on that second commandment. So we still have the two commandments with just kind of a twist on the second one, with a little bit of a higher, much more of a higher calling in terms of how we love each other. And so what we see is, this is it. This is the bottom line. In fact, when you look at the heart of God, love is just everything to him. In fact, when you look at these two commandments, I'll just kind of say that, there's the common denominator in the two commandments, we can see, is the word love. Loving God, loving my neighbor. Love. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, you could be the most spiritual guy. You could have all the gifts, all the knowledge, know the word, got the word and the spirit side down pat, faith to move mountains. Without love, you're nothing. You could be the biggest philanthropist, giving all your money away, giving your body to be burned, Without love, nothing. So religion, external, just, you know, doing stuff externally isn't good enough for God. God wants love. Love goes to heart, it goes to motive, it goes to the why. Now, having the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries, having faith to move mountains, and having love, praise God, that's powerful for God. You know, giving, you know, financially and, you know, laying down your life and having love, that's huge. It's not like you gotta pick one or the other. But the point is, love is central. Without love, you got nothing. Without love, nothing. And so we kind of know this again. There's probably not a lot new here as far as what I'm saying right there. And I want to come at a subject this morning, again, because we kind of hear this and we kind of know the do's and don'ts of walking in love and loving God and different things like that. But I want to come at it from a little different perspective this morning. I want to kind of take what we already know, and here's the title message to say, I trust love. We're going to take what we know about love, and we are going to delve into purposefully understanding that we can trust love. I know those commandments, but trusting love. Love suffers long and kind and can I trust love? Trusting love. So again, the title is just, I trust love. That's the mantra. That's the heart this morning. Not just knowing that I'm supposed to love, but I'm telling you what, there is something about going the direction of love that unfolds love. Jesus told his disciples, he who obeys my commandments, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as I've loved you, he who keeps my commandments, him, me and my Father will love and will come to him and will reveal ourselves to him. There's a revelation of God you get when you're obeying those commandments. These aren't commandments to go to heaven when you die. These are commandments that Jesus gave us to do. And the reward of them is the revealing of God. You see God. And it's not just that I'm supposed to love. I believe in love. I see the power of love, and I go the direction of love because I believe it. I trust love. And so we're going to delve into that a little bit. Again, kind of the angle of love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, but from a perspective of trusting that commandment. I see why you set it up this way, God. You know, you weren't trolling us. You really designed this whole thing to work by love. And when I see that, I believe in it. And I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. I love my neighbor as you have loved him, as you've loved me. So that's what I'm believing for this morning. Just a revelation of believing, trusting love, trusting those commandments. That they are really the way to live. It really is that simple. So the first thing is it relates to what we're talking about, loving God. We're taking that one on first. Loving God with all your heart. All right? I'm kind of phrasing it this way. I trust my heart space to God. I'm going to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. And you know, as I've endeavored to do this, I've just had the Lord kind of show me different things in different ways. And the way I've kind of seen it in my heart is almost instead of, you know, getting cerebral and thinking and thoughts, just kind of, I've just kind of seen my heart, my center of my being as a space. It's a room. All right. You know, we talk about going to the secret place. That's our communion with God. But there's a sacred place in your own being that represents years of experiences, insecurities, joys, failures. There's a whole center of your being, your heart. It's a space that's full of thoughts that create feelings that can determine what you believe. But there is a heart space. And if you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, think of it this way. One way is that you're trusting Him with that heart space. The proverb writer says it this way. He said, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So what the proverb writer here is saying, just on purpose, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. You know, keeping them right in front of you. Let them keep you in the midst of your heart. In other words, I'm just on purpose putting His thoughts, His sayings, His words in my heart. I'm doing that. As a result, I'm going to find life as they're there in the center of my being. Now, He's kind of telling us to just do that, you know? And I know that we've had a lot of good think right messages. Yeah, just think right. Just think right. And it's going to be all right. Just think right. And thinking right is definitely part of it. A big part of it, actually. There's a very scriptural, honorable, right, think right message. But there's something that we got to understand the think right message in a larger context. When you're in the middle of junk and the inventory of your space is full of junk and really bad stuff, and you know God is saying, "Love me with all that space. Let me occupy, let my thoughts, let my heart, let my love for you, let my sayings occupy. Keep my sayings in the midst of your heart." You're finding that conflict. There's something that we got to realize as Christians, and I kind of want a big picture, and then we'll kind of go back to thinking, right? But this is what our New Testament says. As New Testament, new creation Christians, the Apostle Peter said, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." That's the full spectrum. "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." So He's given us that power through knowledge. It goes on to say, "by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." That's what, so we can read them and understand them. "That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And that verse 4 again in the Passion says, "As a result of this, He's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world." So, you know, as we're talking about just loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, that sacred place, there's nobody, you know, what knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? There's nobody who knows you like you, apart from God, of course, but you know you. You know which cards you're still holding and which ones you've laid on the table. You know that. And of course, God knows that too. But we still play cards with God. We do. And when we start loving the Lord with all our heart, we begin to lay down all the cards in a lot of different areas. And the cool thing of it is that, again, you got to believe. You're not going to just lay down your card if you don't believe in love. If you don't trust love, it's theology, and I'm sure it works, you know, 80% of the time. Okay, God, you know, but there's about 20%, and I know some things that happened to that person. So, but He's saying, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Why? As we look under the hood of love, why does this work? Because there's something about these promises. It says there in the underlined part, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. There is something about when you do what that Proverbs guy says, and he just says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. And as you begin to do that, as you begin to declare that word of God, you could say this very scripture, and it would work. My son, give attention to my words, and just begin to declare that from your heart. Something happens. There is a partnership with the divine nature on the inside of you. Now, if you guys have kind of seen, not my era, but a long time ago, those old-fashioned cars. To start them, you know, you see in the movies and the show, you'd have somebody get out front and they'd have to crank it. They'd have to like this huge crank and they'd have to physically, and you could tell it was really strenuous. And so they would do that because they were kind of cold cranking, you know, that engine. And as they did it, pretty soon something would happen and that thing would just start going. I don't know the mechanics of that. All I know is before that car could start, somebody had to physically get out there and turn a crank, and turning that crank started some kind of a reaction that caused it to self-perpetuate. Now, when we're talking about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, there is a dynamic action that happens right there with the Holy Spirit. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a room. We're talking about the inventory of your soul, loving the Lord your God with all your soul, and beginning to recognize that there are areas in my heart that I'm still holding back, and to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to love you with that area. And when you do it, again, when you just begin to declare, this is where you're just declaring the word of God, and let me just kind of go on here, Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is what I want you to see this morning. When I'm setting my mind on things above, just intentionally, mechanically, okay? I have got zero inspiration. I'm not feeling it. I'm just doing it mechanically. I'm just inclining my ears to His sayings, to His promises. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. My soul is full of fear, but God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I'm going to keep that in the midst of my heart. As I do, something happens. The partnership of the divine nature, the one who inspired that word, begins to amen on the inside of me. There is a power, and what happens is the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. These are spiritual laws. And so as I'm doing it, as I'm saying, praise God, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That fear is not coming from you in the name of Jesus. There's authority in His words. And when I cold crank the authority that's in His words and His Spirit begins to amen it, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus comes into motion. And it's not just that I got a thought to cancel out that bad thought and a thought to cancel out that bad thought, that thought to cancel out that bad. No, the wind of the Spirit comes in and blows them out. It just like blows it out. And pretty soon, it could be a song. You could be ministering in worship or something like that. And all of a sudden, you went from a place to a fear to a place of, you know, the glory of God and the heavenly places in Christ. And it's not because you brought closure to 87 thoughts. It's because there was a love, the Spirit of life that came in. Because after a while, you believe in love. I believe in love enough to cold crank. I cold crank because I believe in it. Because I know that there's something beyond my mechanical, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I know that there's a law, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that's rising up as I begin to declare that word. And it's going to blow through. And it will do amazing things because the law of sin and death is what has that fear. And when the law of the Spirit of life comes into my sacred place, comes into my inner being, comes into my center spot, comes into that heart space, I'm loving the Lord with all my heart at that point. And His Spirit responds. I've experienced that. You've experienced that. Where you've been in a place, sometimes maybe you thought, I just feel like, I feel like I need to have a little devotion time, you know? And you go and you're not feeling all that. You go and you have that little devotion time by faith. Maybe a little prompting. And you do it and you get in there. Pretty soon, praise God, you experience something. You experience the presence of God, the Word of God. All of a sudden, you're completely orientated to God. Is with me. He's loved me. He's for me. And as you're getting ready to go to bed, you're thinking, wow, I'm glad I had that little devotion time. I'm glad I had that little thing. What was that? Just the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it makes you free from the law of sin and death. Here's my point. When you begin to love the Lord God with all your heart, it's not mind over matter. It's the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus over the law of sin and death. But you're going to have to crank, is what I'm saying. You're going to crank without inspiration. I'm not waiting for the inspiration. I'm not waiting for the wind of the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Because I know by faith, according to the Word of God, that when I incline my ear to His sayings, which are the promises of God, I will then experience partnership with the divine nature. All right? So I've got a responsibility by faith to start cold cranking the Scriptures, cold cranking those things and declaring them. Knowing that Spirit of God's going to rise up on the inside of me and blow things out. And that's the best thing. That's the best thing. I had one time, I was related to this once, where I was on the treadmill, frustrated, angry, you know, seven levels deep into a discussion and that I was having an imaginary discussion with a person who didn't know I was having the discussion with them. But you know how it is. You kind of get into those things, those dark places. And the Lord just said, just praise me. And I thought, I was insulted by that. I thought, just praise me? I said, well, yeah, I'll praise you when I'm done with this. Let me work through this. And that's when the Lord said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. And that's the lie. Like, we gotta bring closure to all this stuff. You don't. Just let the wind of the Spirit blow it out. Let the wind of the Spirit. That's being proactive. You're proactively setting your mind on things above. Now, as the wind of the Spirit blows things out, you might find that there's some things that are going to stay there. Some things that are lingering there that do need to be dealt with. All right? So there's a proactive side of setting your mind. There's a proactive side of cranking up. There's a proactive side of getting in the Spirit and knowing you're in the Spirit. All right? But then there's also, I'm just calling this, for lack of a better phrase, a prayer active mode as well too, okay? And so I love 1 Peter 5 and, you know, Philippians 4, because they're kind of saying the same thing. But they each have a little piece of information that the other one doesn't. I wish I could just skip them on one screen, but here goes. 1 Peter 5 says it this way. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, laying all your cards down, for he cares for you. Pour all your worries, stress upon him, and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. So what is that saying? It's saying there are some things, the wind has blown through, and there are some issues. There are some things that you need to pray about. There may be some things and issues that you need to specifically, on purpose. See, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We've kind of talked before, a few months back, about how a lot of times in the soul, there can be demonic fluff, and there can be real stuff. All right? That's kind of all the weird stuff that Satan kind of blows up in there. When you put the law of the Spirit of life into Christ Jesus, the demonic fluff blows out. But there will be some real things that you need to deal with, and you're going to deal with them head on with the Word of God. But you'll notice something comes first. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The reason why there's some things that linger in there, some still have some cards in our hand, is there's some things that do I really want to just commit this to God? And so there's some real faith that I'm saying, okay, here we go, Lord. I'm going to commit this. I'm going to lay it down to you. And so pouring out my worries, my stress. But the first thing that comes is humility. And when you begin to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, he does a work of humility in you. All right? As you do it, if you can kind of think of Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's casting your cares upon him. All right? What happens after that? The peace that passes your understanding will keep your heart and mind, and then you go true, honest, noble, just, that you're believing the best right there. But you got to come to a place of humility. If there's something that's still stuck in your heart, you got to go before God and say, God, help me. I'm scared. I'm worried about this. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I need help. Gee, Pastor, this is a very poor confession of faith. This has nothing to do with confession of faith. Confession of faith comes later. First things first. You got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself before God and say, help me. Have that card too. Oh, you feel like cutting off a hand. You can have that card too. There's a humbling. I believe God's showing you whatever that is. But there's a humbling to lay that down too. Because until the humbling, you know, I can pray a prayer. God, I just acknowledge you with it. I acknowledge you with it. But there's a heart thing. Loving God with all your heart. That means those thoughts are, I humble and I admit I need help here. It's a humbling. And what is it? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the cards that are on the table, but he can't give grace to the ones that are still in your hand. And so he's saying, and this is between you and God, but that's where you're saying, okay, I'm laying those down too. There they are. You know? And as you do that, what happens? What's the promise then? I've acknowledged him. I've poured out my worries and cares. It says that he'd carry them for me, right? Tenderly caring for you. That's really verse 7. The peace that passes your understanding, keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is the same action. He's just in the process of carrying them for you. That's why you got peace. All right? But then verse 8 goes on to the confession of faith. This is where faith people can, yeah. Finally, for what's the things are true, noble, just. So when that thought comes back that I've humbled myself, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference when you just kind of high-five, acknowledge God with something, you know, and when you really humble yourself and say, here it is, you can have it. You know in your own heart whether you're just kind of doing your due diligence or whether you're really laying it down. And when you begin to lay that down and say, okay, Lord, here it is, I'm doing it, I'm laying it down. I believe in the power of love. I trust love with this. I'm trusting God is love. I'm trusting love. I'm putting it in his hands. And as I do that, thank God, I've got what was in my heart out. I got the cart on the table. That's all I know. It's on the table. I'm not holding it back. And I've been honest with God. I've been honest with God about me, my failures, the things that I've done. I'm saying, God, here it is. I can't keep it bottled up inside of me playing games. It's out. It's done. Now, thank God, peace that passes with thanksgiving. I'm letting my request. I'm doing this in faith. I'm not doing it in despair, okay? It can sound like despair because I'm saying I'm afraid. I'm not saying it in despair. I'm saying it in faith because there's something coming. As I'm laying that down, praise God, there's a peace that passes my understanding. And then once I've laid it down in my heart, that's when I begin to say, when the enemy brings it up, I say, whatever things are true, noble, just, I look at that. Now I'm looking that through that thing with a lens of it's in God's hands. Now I see it in the sense of whatever's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. I'm seeing that thing through the lens of Philippians 4:8. But I start out with that lens and that thing in the lens of Philippians 5:5, humbling myself, saying, here it is, God, card on the table. I'm not holding it. I need you. You know, we think, well, we all know that. You know, you need to know you need him with that card. You need to know that you need him. It's not enough for you to know theologically, I know that. No, with that. When you humble yourself with that, you lay it down. Then there's peace. And then go positive. Then go faith. Then you've done something. You've done your due diligence. You know, Philippians 4:8 is not sticking your head in the sand. You've done, you know, 1 Peter 5:5 and Philippians 4:6. You've dealt with it. What are you doing? You're getting it out. You're getting it out, as it were, of the house. You're clearing that space out. So there's kind of, you know, finally, 2 Corinthians, weapons that we have, they're not physical, but they're mighty through God for overthrowing strongholds, refuting arguments, theories, reasonings. This is all the stuff that tries to steal the space, this heart space. Every proud, lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought captive and purpose. We lead every thought and purpose captive into the obedience of Christ. What is that? We got weapons, in other words, to maintain this heart space. We've got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus where I'm just mechanically cranking and I'm just letting it blow through. The problem that we've found, I think, and maybe just this is just me working out my own salvation, is a lot of times you kind of get this message in one extreme or the other. It's just cast all your cares and be diligent to every little thing, or it's just going to be set your mind on things above and it'll just be life and peace and there's just no other thing to it. There's two things at play. There is the setting your mind proactively, worshiping God and going up high, but there are going to be some things the Holy Spirit shows you. Okay, acknowledge me with this. Humble yourself with this. Give me something to work with, you know? And so that's where you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. That's where your personal relationship with Jesus gets personal. But it's also where you begin to manage your heart and you begin to check your own heart. Here's the cool thing. Now, I can get my heart clear and it's like, praise God, my heart's clear. It's not forever clear, but it's like clear now. Are there things I probably still need to acknowledge God with? Yeah, probably. But right now, for what I've got in my heart, it's clear. And that's awesome. You know, it's not like I've got to have everything, every I dotted and T crossed. But you get to that place of a clear heart. And that's just, it's what the scripture calls walking in the light as he is in the light. I know that my mind is on things above. I know I've dealt with the things. I know I'm not holding any cards in my hand. All right? That's trusting love with my heart space. I'm keeping my heart full of God and his word. Finally, I trust my back. What do I mean by trust my back? What's the other part of that commandment? To love your neighbor as he has loved you. Trusting love with your back. This is what Jesus said as far as our finances. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. In other words, he's just saying, look, seek after me, and I got your back financially. You know, in other places in Corinthians, he says, Matthew, he says, give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaking together. And so we kind of learn this giving-wise. You know, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So you begin to practice giving, sowing. He causes grace to abound toward you. You're writing out that tithe check and think, well, I could pay that bill and that bill. I'm just writing it out by faith. I love Lord. I trust him with it. It's not about what I know or what I understand. And praise God, he takes care. I write out that offering check, whatever it is, and he takes care of me. He takes care of me. And it's an amazing thing. I'm just seeking first the kingdom of God. But there's something in my heart. I know I'm doing something his way. And I know if I do my part that he's going to take care of me on the backside. Here's another one of those scriptures, a little different context. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The financial one might be a little easier to think of in some contexts. But this is the love one. We're talking about I trust love. I trust love. I trust God. I trust God when it comes to love and loving people. You know, it's one thing for me to be able to take God at his word. It's another thing when you're just loving people. There's a suffering that goes hand in hand with loving people, suffering long and being kind. But here's the cool thing. When you begin to love him, you believe that he has your back. Right there when it says in verse 19, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. That's a huge clause. We find ourselves right there in that clause. We can find ourselves very angry in that clause. We can find victim complexes in that clause. We can find all kinds of stuff. But at some point, there comes a point in your own heart and mind where you begin to say, I trust love. I'm not going to take vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, Ed, yeah, you were done wrong. You were treated wrong. Don't worry about it. I got your back here. Don't retaliate. Don't take revenge. I got your back here. You don't have to go through a bunch of, you know, mind games and things like that. I got your back. Okay, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to do what you say in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to suffer long, be kind, not envy, not parade myself, not behave rudely, not seek my own, not get provoked, not thinking evil. But I'm doing it from a context because I trust love. I trust you have my back. I'm not going to rejoice in iniquity. I'm going to rejoice in the truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, knowing that love never fails. What is this? I'm trusting love. I'm not loving because I should love. I believe in it. I believe that he has my back. Now, in reality, how does this look? There are going to be days, my days, I can tell you, where I've been there with tears in my eyes, saying out loud, I trust love. You will have some epic moments that are between you and God when you cry out and say, I just trust love. I trust love here. And it's just you and him. And he'll manifest himself to you. And he'll begin to show you things. And he'll give you a heart to see some things and to see through things. And he'll give you a grace and a peace as you trust him to be your avenger. And it's not like you're wishing destruction on your enemy or anything. In fact, the scripture says clearly, you've heard it said that you love your enemy, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? In other words, there's a place that we come to when we're talking about love, where we have to just on purpose begin to trust love. In the same way I'm cold cranking the word, while the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus goes into motion, and I'm humbling myself, and I'm letting my request be made known unto God, while the peace that passes understanding goes into motion to keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, I'm also going to be not just forgiving, but loving. Believe to love back. Even if that person, sometimes you can't always overtly love your enemy. That, you know, that could be taken wrong. I get it. But you can pray, you know. You can pray for them, like you said, and, you know, do good where you can and all that. But keeping that heart. Why am I doing it? That it's going to, in the same way that giving keeps out a covetous spirit, giving love keeps out that bitter spirit. It's God's way. He set it up that way. It's not just but he'll manifest it and he'll make it real to you. I'm doing this because I believe in it. In other words, when I write my tithe, I believe in it. I believe in it. I know it. I've experienced it. I begin to love and I begin to love. I'm cold cranking the word because I know the law of the spirit of life is right around the corner. I believe it. I trust it. I trust love. I trust it. I trust it. You get a revelation of it. Jesus said, when you keep those commandments, me and my Father will love him and will manifest ourselves to him. We know that he loves everybody, but there is a special reciprocation that God will do when he sees your heart going after love because you believe in it. And he'll begin to show it to you. And this is so personal. I get it. We all got stuff. We all got things that we're working through and working out. But as you just begin to believe in love, he'll take you on a journey by the hand and begin to show you step by step by step. I'm just kind of giving a broad level concept area, but the Holy Spirit will customize these concepts to you as it relates to those cold cranking scriptures he gives you. And as he begins to deal with you, lay that card down. And don't just lay it down, but lay it down with humility. Lay it down saying, I humble myself under your mighty hand. And this is not despair. It's kind of like we kind of get these weird faith complex egos of extremes. It's just humbling, saying, God, I need you. He'll honor that. He'll bless it. He'll come in and say, oh, thank you. I've been waiting for years to help you with that. Because he wants to so much, you know? And so he's there. And trusting your back to love. In the same way these principles work financially, you're cold cranking that, it works with love too. I'm just going to proactively love and love and love and in the same way I proactively give and give and keep my heart right with money, and I'm going to love and love, keep my heart right toward people and relationships. It's just that way. He designed it that way. It looks weak and goofy to the natural mind, but when you get to do those things, he'll manifest himself to you and show it's right. You get to the end of your life and say, man, that was always right all along. Man, praise God. Well, praise God. I'm going to trust love. We're all trusting love, and that's kind of what we're in the process of doing right now. Trusting love with our heart space, trusting love with our love walk, loving God with all our heart, loving our neighbor as he's loved us. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for love. The great commandments are the greatest commandments for a reason. There is power in love. There is power that puts our life together. We know we're supposed to love. We know a lot of the do's and don'ts of love. Father, help us to trust love, to believe the way of love. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts and to begin to venture out, maybe those oceans where my feet, you know, may have never wandered before, but I'm stepping out in love. I'm stepping out. I'm making myself vulnerable to the Word of God, knowing, Lord, that you're there. Father God, and in walking in love, I get to know love. I get to know you. And I pray that for each person here. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are love. You've called me to love you, to love my neighbor. I believe in love. I trust love. I trust your ways. And I thank you that as I walk in your way, you're going to reveal yourself to me. These won't just be principles, but I'm going to see you. You're going to make yourself real to me. That's going to cause me to love more and trust love more. I fill my heart space with your sayings, with your promises, and I find life as I keep them in the midst of me. And I thank you, Father God, whatever I need to deal with, whatever cards are still in my hand that the wind of the Spirit can't blow out, because I'm still holding it. Help me to lay it down so the wind can blow it out and blow it into your peace and restore and heal. I trust you. You have my back. No matter who does what to me, it does not undo what you did for me. Nothing can separate me from your love. I trust your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.